All praises to the Most High Yahweh, creator of all things, worthy of all praise, glory, and honor, power and majesty and dominion forever and ever. Also acknowledging his only begotten Son, Yahweh Shah HaMashiach, also known as Yahusha, Yeshua, and Jesus. Also giving acknowledgement to the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, leading and guiding into all truth and righteousness, bringing all things to remembrance. Good morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Talking Prophecy. We have a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to be talking mainly about the Antichrist and our reparations. But first, we must touch on Judas so we can get an understanding as we go forward. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples that were chosen by the Messiah himself. Judas would be the one that would betray the Messiah. And the point of all this is to show you that there's some similarities between Judas and the Antichrist. One of the similarities is that there were certain events. Well, when Yahusha said he chose 12, he knew that one was the devil. And there was another instance when the woman brought some oil to anoint his body for his burial, that Judas got into an uproar and started saying, what is this waste? This could have been sold to and the money given to the poor. Now, the scriptures go on and let us know that he had no concern for the poor. He was a thief, and he wanted the money to go into his bag so he can go in and, you know, take a little here, a little there type of thing. So he was always showing fleshly and wicked qualities. But even still, in those two events, Judas was not filled with the devil. But on the night that he was getting ready to betray the Savior, let's read it. John 13, verses 26 and 27. And Yahusha answered, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Yahusha unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." So, brothers and sisters, we see that the devil himself at that time entered into Judas, because that's how badly Satan wanted the Messiah dead. There was no chance that he was going to take that Judas may say, "Hey, I can't do it." Mm-mm. Once Satan entered him, Judas had no more choice. He was along for the ride. Satan was controlling the wheel of Judas's body because he allowed it to get to that point. And we know this is true because after he betrayed the Savior and he came back to himself, he saw he was condemned, and he went back. He tried to get the money back. He said, "I sinned." He tried to repent. And the church people of his day just said, "Man, we got nothing to do with that. That's on you. Go handle your business." So they basically said, "We have nothing to do with you anymore." And the thing was so great on Judas that he went out and he hanged himself. These are the scriptures. That's located in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 5. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So you see, once Satan gets control, you're along for the ride at that point in time. Satan needed this to be done. And so he didn't just leave it to Judas. He entered Judas and made sure that he did it. And when Judas came back to himself, he tried to repent. He tried to give the money back, but it was too late. Some things, I'm sorry, just can't change. And so this was his destiny, and this is what happened to him. I said all that to say, him and the Antichrist shares some similarities on this point. Now let's get into the Antichrist. But first, one more small detour, because I have to explain something to these people so they can actually try and follow along with where I'm going. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and we're going to be there a lot. And it reads, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, the point in this that I want to bring out is confirming a covenant with many for 1 week. This is where we get the 7-year covenant, the last 7 years of the age. So now you may say, well, I heard him say a week. Well, we know that it's not a week because you cannot physically remove 42 months from a week. And the Antichrist is going to have a 42-month reign. So we know that it's not a physical week. Well, some people may say, well, it may not be a physical week, but it may be 70 years instead of 7. How come not 70? Well, because the Messiah said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. If you were 10 years old and second Exodus started and it lasted 70 years, you would be 80 when it ended. And you know that the vast majority of people are not going to live to be 80 years old. If you were in the prime of your life, 20-year-old, and the 70 years was, an Exodus of 70 years, you would be 90. And we know that that's way out of the range of a generation seeing everything. So I'm trying to show you why it will be 7 years and the end of the age is what we're discussing. Let's go further. Now let's start again. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. We're going to stop right there. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the Antichrist confirming the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. When he makes this agreement, when he signs this agreement, he is an empty Antichrist. He is not full of the devil. He's still just the Antichrist. And he has no deadly wound. And like I said, he has no power directly from Satan at this time. But in the middle of the week, in the midst of the week, we will be dealing with a fully loaded Antichrist. It's 3.5 years from the beginning of the agreement until the middle. 1260 days, 42 30-day months. And at the middle, he's going to come fully loaded and cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now you might ask yourself, how did he get to the fully loaded state? And that's what we're going to look at next. Revelations 12, 7 and 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's step one. Revelation 9, 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So war first, then the bottomless pit being opened. Revelations 9, 17, 8. The beast ascends out of this pit. The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall go, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. War in heaven, bottomless pit open, the beast ascends out of that bottomless pit. Revelations 13, 4, Satan transferring power. And they that worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? But this is not the one I was looking for. I'm sorry for the mistake. Hold on. Excuse me, brothers and sisters. The scripture I was looking for was 13, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So there we see war in heaven, bottomless pit open, the beast ascends out of the pit, and Satan will transfer power to this beast, which is the Antichrist. Once he's fully loaded, in the middle of the 3.5 years, he's going to come back, enter in the temple, cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and claim his 42-month reign of great tribulation. So there we clearly see how the Antichrist went from being empty with signing the agreement and fully loaded in the middle and coming to Jerusalem, causing the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So we see how we arrived to this point. So now we're going to go in and start looking in at some scriptures concerning reparations. All right, we have some good reading to do in Isaiah. I stress to you, please read the whole chapter, Isaiah 49. All right. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith the Almighty, in an acceptable time I have heard thee. In a day of salvation I have helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. 49:9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Isaiah 49:10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Isaiah 49:11-12. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these shall these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Isaiah 49:13-14. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Almighty Yahweh has comforted his people and will have mercy upon the afflicted. But Zion said, the Almighty has forsaken me, and my Almighty has forgotten me. 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven upon the psalm of my hands. Behold, I have graven thee upon the psalms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Isaiah 49:17-18. In this part here, he's talking specifically to the land, Jerusalem. Just like when we were being banished from the land and going into our captivity, how Jerusalem was in mourning, that her children were being taken away and she was becoming desolate. Well, this is now the comforting part. Isaiah 49:17-18. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Almighty Yahweh, thou shalt surely close thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. Isaiah 49:19-20-21. For thy wastes and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou had lost the other shall say again in thine ears, this place is too straight for me. Give me place. Give place to me that I may dwell. I want to stop here for a second. It's saying all of these people coming back to the land of Jerusalem are going to be so many that the land is going to have trouble containing them. The children coming back are going to start to complain. It's too tight. It's too straight. Give me some room so I can dwell. You know, some people would like to be alone. I'm one of those type of people. That's what's going on here. Then shalt thou say in thine ears, who has gotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and I am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? This is the children coming back home. All right. Isaiah 49:22-23. Thus saith the Almighty Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. We need to read that again. The Most High is going to lift up his hand to the Gentiles. Thus saith the Almighty Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. Lifting his hands to the Gentiles to set up his standard to the people, getting things in order. All right. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms. Thy daughters shall be carried up upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Almighty Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait on me. That's one. We're going somewhere. Just bear with me. We're going somewhere. Okay, this is a regular scripture I know most of us know. Talking about a birth of a nation. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It's getting good, huh? All right. Isaiah 66, 10, 11, 12. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Almighty Yahweh, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides and dandled upon her knees. So again, we see Gentiles, the glory of the Gentiles. Any idea what that may mean? Sounds like reparations to me. That's the strength of a nation. All right, we're going to stop here, and we're going to go right back to where we started from. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He is the Antichrist, but he's not fully loaded, but he's still the Antichrist. He's going to confirm a covenant with many. July 4th, 2023. Do we see anything like this happening? I think we do. 41 countries ready to accept currency a month before the summit. This is BRICS. Confirm a covenant with many. And the Most High is going to lift up his hands and set up the standard to these Gentiles. Israel first. And they're going to bring us out. And their glory of their, And the glory of the Gentiles is going to be flowing like a stream. For thus saith the Almighty Yahweh, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. No more lack. When we come out, we're going to come out to great substance from all of these different nations who will acknowledge we are the chosen people, the hidden ones. They're going to, because without this, they can't survive, and they know it. Right now, they're going through judgment, and they know if they don't set us free and put us back in our land, they have no chance. This is why they're going to do it. You know, not because they love us so much, but they're under judgment. And so, by them blessing us, they get to remain alive and be blessed. This is what's happening. I fully believe that the Antichrist is behind the BRICS organization. You can take your pick from all of those countries, which one is going to be the Antichrist. You know, China, Russia, you know, Saudi Arabia. You got a lot to choose from. I'm not saying who that is. I'm not sure. But I know that he's behind the scenes, you know, confirming this covenant. And when they get all the details ironed out, don't be a bit surprised the Most High is going to lift up his hand and cause them to set up this standard. And we will be going to Jerusalem in style. No longer the tail, but restored back to the head. Glory, hallelujah, all praises be to the Most High Yahweh. We're going to stop here. Study to show yourself approved. But I see great blessings in the near future. All praises to the Most High Yahweh, His only begotten Son, Yahawashah, and to the Ruach HaKodesh. Much love to the brothers and sisters. Till we meet again, Shalom.